Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Acts, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." It's an exciting scene, isn't it? Certainly a miracle has been performed, but a normal day, if there can be a normal day of prayer, a normal day has been turned into one in which God has been glorified greatly. Seems like every holiday season, and you may have experienced it again this holiday season, the movie It's a Wonderful Life is shown with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. Did you get a chance to see any of it this year? It's a movie about a man who's kind of soured on life. Jimmy Stewart is depressed, and he's actually thinking about taking his own life. But it's also a movie about encouragement, isn't it? About renewed appreciation for the simple things in life, family, friends, and community, and of angels, remember Clarence, and bells ringing. What would it be like to be a beggar? And on top of that, to be lame as a beggar. I have written out on the marquee, "Both gate and day were beautiful when the lame man walked." This man has been lame since he was born. It says since his mother's womb, and we find out that he's more than 40 years old in chapter 4, verse 22. So you can see that we're going to be with this story for at least a couple of three more lessons, maybe even as many as four, as far as the context being the same, the location and the events that have transpired. So we're really just setting the stage this morning in the miracle itself. But he is one who does not decide just to sit at home. He's carried daily to the temple and to a specific spot at the temple, at the gate called Beautiful. There are 8 gates in the walls of Jerusalem at this time. And the gate Beautiful is on the eastern side of the city mount, the Temple Mount. And it faces the Mount of Olives. And it's a large gate. It's also called the Golden Gate. And even the Gate of Mercy, because it's the gate that's closest to the actual Temple Mount, so that quite often Jews would go there to pray, to be as close to God as possible when they made their petitions. So I don't think it's any accident that this beggar, knowing that this is the gate through which the Jews pass in the afternoon to pray, goes to this gate to beg. He's got a clientele that's passing him by that have God on their minds, or at least they should. And he's going to petition them for help. I think a lot of this fellow, really, he has the initiative to have people carry him there on a daily basis. Perhaps he's even self-supporting through his alms that he begs. He's just making the best of a bad situation, isn't he? And that's not such a bad place to be, ensconced at the Beautiful Gate. Similar to the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. There comes a time when we need to realize just how blessed we are, and the more we can be reminded of that, the better. That God is in control. That no matter what our circumstances, Paul says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But as he's ensconced there at the Gate Beautiful, he's easily recognized, and people know that he's not a charlatan. I mean, for decades, possibly, he's been here begging for alms. In fact, when they see him walking and leaping and praising God, they know exactly who he is. They say, isn't that the guy that's usually we pass by seated outside? And now he's in amongst us, and he's not just in amongst us. He's causing a scene. He's leaping and praising God because he has been healed. Sadly, today, that Gate Beautiful on the eastern side of the walls of Jerusalem is bricked up. It's been walled up, not once, not twice, but 3 different times. Because you see, it's the wall through which Jewish prophecy says the Messiah is to come. And in the Muslim frame of mind, as well as the Jewish frame of mind, sadly, that's still to happen. It's believed to have been taken from Zechariah 9 and verse 9. And so the Muslims in the year 810 walled it up to prevent the Messiah from entering through it. It was opened up by the Crusaders, but walled up again in 1187 and then again in 1541. So that if you were to go there today, and Colleen and I have been blessed to be there and to see it in 2015, it's all full of stone and brick. Not only is it walled up and you can't pass through it, but in front of it to the outside, a cemetery, a Muslim cemetery, has been created to desecrate the land. Isn't man just so mischievous? The Golden Gate, the Gate of Mercy, the Beautiful Gate. Man has attempted to shut out the connection, perhaps to God's mercy, but certainly to the Messiah's return. And yet we believe that it's through that gate that Jesus actually went in triumph on the foal of an ass whenever he entered Jerusalem, because he came from the Mount of Olives, and it's believed that he went through that gate. He fulfilled Zechariah 9:9. It's just been ignored by those who were present at that time, except for those of the faith. Do you think it's a coincidence that one of the first acts of the apostles in public And in an attempt to evangelize, God uses that gate and a lame man to set the stage for the second appeal to the souls of men in Jerusalem. In the first appeal on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it brought about 3,000 being baptized and being saved. As we study now chapters 3 and 4, we're going to see that it results in 5,000 more coming to the Lord. I don't think it's coincidental. Do you know this song? Turn to hymn number 431. I believe that I was introduced to this song a little more than 40 years ago. That's coincidental, isn't it? The man was lame for 40 years plus. Something Beautiful. 431. Do me something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. Brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Wow, that is so true. Not just of the lame man, not just of the apostles, not just of the souls of those men and women who obeyed Christ in the first century, but for you and I. God creates that which is glorious, if we'll but let Him. It's a new day, isn't it, for this lame man. He came expecting to collect his alms and go home perhaps with a purse full. But when Peter faced him and had him look intently, he said, "Silver and gold have I none." His heart must have sunk, thinking, "Oh man, I'm going to get some pious sermon. He's going to just pray over me." I don't know what he thought, but it couldn't have been all that encouraging. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And with that, Peter lifted him off his feet, and the Lord healed him. I really doubt that this is the first time that Peter and John have passed this beggar. Perhaps he has, it would mean, if he's been there for decades, it would be highly likely that he was there when Jesus entered on the foal of an ass, witnessing the triumphal entry, as it is called. What do you think it is on this day that the apostles stop to talk to him? We know what's happening. God is at work. The Holy Spirit is setting the stage for a miracle that will astound the Jewish faithful. A miracle that will alarm the Jewish leaders who have rejected Jesus as being the Christ. A miracle that will pave the way to prove once again Jesus' deity. And a miracle that will show that the apostles, as well as their message, the gospel, is from God. And we're going to see all of that take place as we continue the lessons from Acts chapters 3 and 4. How different will the beggar's life be tomorrow? On the next day, he may wake up. Do you think he will think, "Oh, I've got to get myself together and get down to the gate beautiful"? Well, if he does think that, it's not to beg, is it? It's to pray. To approach the golden gate or the gate of mercy. to thank God in a renewed frame of mind for healing him. I believe his feet will carry him straight to the temple to worship. Living proof of Jesus' healing power. I don't know that we fully understand the message that God is giving to his people. The number of prophecies that have been fulfilled in Jesus and continuing to be fulfilled in him, even after his ascension into heaven, his death, burial, and resurrection. God doesn't want his people to miss the fact that the Father of mercies has been amongst them. They have rejected him, but he's giving them a second chance to allow the Lord to be their shepherd. Here is proof in a walking, leaping testimonial, living proof of Jesus' power. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a beautiful psalm taking on renewed emphasis because of the incident that we're studying today. I'm going to speak this afternoon about being satisfied with who we are and where we are. Do you think anybody would want to be like you? I can imagine that beggar looking at everyone that walked by, thinking, oh, but to have the chance to stand on my own two feet and to walk with them into the temple. Why is he so happy? Why is he leaping and praising God? I mean, after all, he's still a beggar, isn't he? Well, he's not a beggar anymore, I don't think. I think he's going to be able to sustain, to be self-supporting for sure. How is tomorrow going to be different for him? It's a wonderful life. He'll enter and exit, gate beautiful, singing praises to God. What a gift. Yet from all earthly appearances, Peter and John are just as poor. Poor as church mice. Silver and gold have I none. But you can bet that the lame man did not feel cheated in the least. But such as I have, give I thee. Do you know that's your possession too? If you're faithful to the Lord and have been baptized into his name, you have salvation and a message to share. But such as I have, give I thee. We are rich in the Lord. It's a wonderful life when Christ is your Savior and Master. We enter and exit through the gate, which is called beautiful, the golden gate, the gate of mercy. Man can't stop that, can he? No matter how many stones he lays and how much mortar he uses, he can't prevent God's grace and God's mercy from descending from the throne above and showering the faithful. The Lord knows what to give to those who are in need. We have received it as Christians. We are rich beyond compare and have a message of healing, of forgiveness of the soul, an opportunity for those crippled by sin and Satan's darts to be free, to leap for joy after having received God's mercy. It's a wonderful life. Thus, this is from Matthew Henry, thus God often by a kind providence makes up in the mind what is wanting in the body. You can overcome much with the right attitude. You can overcome even more when you know that it is God who is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Brethren, let us have at the beginning of this year an attitude that we have been blessed, that regardless of what challenges we face in life, even the possibility of wretched sickness or poverty, yea, even death, the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, at the end of the movie, Clarence did his job, the angel. He convinced Jimmy that life was not as bad as he thought it was. And then the bell rang, and we knew that Clarence got his wings. Don't you want yours? Trust him. Allow him to heal you. Believe in his Son. Walk in triumph alongside him, crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Have your sins cleansed. The lameness that Satan has put you in because of obeying his will, wiped away, and be raised to walk a new life. Life is beautiful, wonderful in the Lord.